Shalom Aleichem, welcome everyone as we prepare for Shabbos Chazak, Shabbos Parshas Vayechi, and the brachas of Yaakov Avinu. I'd like to share with you a couple of thoughts on the parsha, but to begin with, as I was being Mavis Sedra, there's a question that disturbed me that I don't think I've ever thought about before, and it's something that's just a technicality that seems to be a little strange, and I'll explain. I'm talking here about the life of Yosef. Of course, Yosef, at the age of 17, went down to Mitzrayim, and 22 years later was reunited with his father and his parents, and his father and his brothers, at the age of, 22 and 17, he's at the age of 39. By that time, when he was 39 years old, we're aware that he already had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and they weren't little babies because we're told by Rashi that Manasseh was the interpreter when the Shvatim came. So we would guess that at the very least he had to be 5 or 6 years old to be an interpreter in the king's palace. So let's say if Yosef at that time was 39, that he had Manasseh when he was 33. So he has his first son at the age of 33, the second son shortly thereafter. Yosef lived till 110, meaning that when he passed away, his oldest son, Manasseh, Manasseh was born at 33, then at that time, he was 77 years old. 77 plus 33 is 110. So Manasseh was 77 years old at the time. So Yosef lived to see Manasseh 77 years old. How many generations did Yosef see? Well, I would think a 77-year-old man, certainly in those generations when they apparently got married younger, would have had certainly grandchildren, Be'ezus Hashem, in normal circumstances today, a man is a grandfather by the age of 60. And by 77, usually 77 years later, a person would have great-grandchildren already. A person, if Manasseh had children shortly thereafter, and if Manasseh was 25 years old when his oldest child got married, and then his oldest child was 25 years old when he got married, and his oldest child was 25 when he got married, he should have really seen great-great-great-grandchildren. All right. So Yosef sees Manasseh 77 years old. What's surprising to me is at the end of the parsha says, a chiddush, iftam after. V'yar Yosef l'Ephraim b'nei Shileshim, gam b'nei Machir b'Menasseh yuldo abrikei Yosef. The pasuk is telling us that Yosef was zeicha, he had a big schus. He saw a third generation, and even the children of Machir b'Menasseh, which is his great grandchildren, he got to see. It's a chiddush that the Torah would say it as a surprise that he got to see great grandchildren. If he lived 77 years, it's just a horror thought about the chronology of that which took place. Perhaps that's why Rashi really changes the pshat in the pasuk. It says, Yuldu al Birkei Yosef. The pasuk says, they were born at Birkei Yosef. Some say that he was a sandik for a great-grandson. As I said, that wouldn't be a chiddush. Maybe this is why Rashi, in the last Rashi, and Sefer Bereishis says, Yulda Birkei Yosef, Godlon den Birkov, he raised them. Why does Rashi say he raised them? That's not what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says they were born. It may be that it bothered Rashi, the question that I'm asking, that the chronology of the whole story is not a chiddush that he was a sandik or that he saw the birth of a great-grandson. If his son was 77, it's not such a chiddush. Why would the Torah say it? So it may be that it's telling you this aspect, that he was able to raise B'nai Shleishim, raise great-grandchildren, and that would be a chiddush. Okay, anyway, that's a thought. Let's go back to the beginning of the parasha. I'd like to share with you a thought from the Sefarno. It says that Einei Yaakov kavdu mizaken. The eyes of Yaakov, they got old, Mizaikim, because he was old. I mean, as an aside, it's a little strange. It's saying like it was natural, big deal. You know, he couldn't see well because he was old. Lo yuchal lirais. we understand that there was some Shemayim Cheshvan that he couldn't see. But anyway, at any rate, so what happened? Vayagesh Esav Elav, Yosef said, well, my father can't see my children. Even he saw, he said, Mi'ela, but he didn't see them, I guess, clearly. So Vayagesh Esav Elav, Yishaklam V'yachavaklam. So he brought them close and he kissed them. Why is that important? Okay. Why does this not being able to see have to do with this part of the story? I don't know. The Sephorno says an incredible thing. He says, Lo yuchal lirais. He says that for bracha to be chal from a tzaddik, the tzaddik looks at the mizbarech, looks at him with a good eye, looks at him in a favorable way. And that's how a tzaddik is zeicha to give over bracha. A tzaddik is bracha by looking at someone in a positive way, in a favorable way. The Pachad Yitzchak writes that it says by Maisa Bereishis, between the different days, Vayara Lekim Ki Toiv, Hashem saw that it was good. Hashem put in the Bria of Vayar Ki Toiv, that when you look at things and you see them as good, that it gives bracha. So this Farno is saying that. He's saying, Eina Yaakov Kavdu Mizaykin Leyucha Lirais. So he couldn't see to give bracha. So what did he do instead? Vayishak lohem. So as the Sephorno, kedei shetidbek nashay v'yachol berchasay. Through a kiss from an Adam Gadol, a bracha is chal. It's an important idea to understand that when the Ava of an Adam Gadol, and specifically the kiss of an Adam Gadol, is on a person, it brings bracha. I remember of Elie Shvei speaking at the Shloshim of Reb Yaakov. He said that he was once sitting with Reb Yaakov and a bacher, an immigrant bacher from Russia who had been part of the effort of Ber HaGoyla, and he became a Ben Taira, and he was there. So he said, Reb Yaakov said to Reb Elie Shvei, he said, "When there is gekum and the chabim gekusht," he said, "when he came, I gave him a kiss." Who knows, maybe from that kiss he became a bentayr. Reb Yaakov said that. Now, Reb Yaakov said, it's not just a mechanical kiss, it's the Abba that he had. And an Abba of an Adam Gadol that comes in such a way, it brings it brings bracha. I once saw in the Siddur Yavitz on Leil Shabbos Kodesh, he talks about the nechitzos of neshika. Rav Schwab talks about this idea at the end of Parshas Toldos. He says an incredible thing. He says, L'dava nafshenu, he says, to our sorrow, there are people among the Jewish people, even from people, that are crooked, that are not so straight. Yesh ramoim v'klal Yisrael. How could it be? How could it be the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov who embodied emes? How could it be that people, descendants of those who stood at Har Sinai, could be crooked in their interaction with other people? He sucked Rav Schwab that comes from the kiss of Lavan. Lavan runs after Yaakov, and he complains to Yaakov, "You didn't give me time. You didn't give me time, Lenashek, as Banai of an eyesight, to kiss my children and my grandchildren." He knew, he understood quite well Yaakov's kavana. Yaakov wanted to run away before he gives them a kiss. He insisted on giving them a kiss. Now Schwab brings from one of his rebbeim that someone was the Chafetz Chaim when he was learning the parasha in Parshas Toldos, and he heard that when the Chafetz Chaim that got to the pasuk v'yinashek l'banav u'b'naisav, he said in Yiddish, "Abrahatem bandit nishke ken kushin Yaakov." While Yaakov is Midas Ha'emes, said them bandit, he called the Lavan the bandit. So this bandit could not kiss Yaakov. Yaakov is Midas Ha'emes. So that the idea, the kiss of Lavan was a kiss that had a negative hashpa. The idea being that a kiss of Ahava is able to be mashpia in a proper way and when it's the right time. When it says the Rebbeinu Shem talked to Moshe peh al peh adaber boy, peh al peh, speak to mouth to mouth, should have said peh al oizen adaber boy. Why does it say peh al peh? Peh al peh adaber boy is because the midah of peh, the midah of mouth to mouth, is a midah of tremendous bracha. It's a devekus. When somebody dies in the best way possible, when Miriam, Aaron, and then Moshe Rabbeinu died, we call it misas neshika, the kiss, the misa of a kiss, the misa of neshika. Don't underestimate that the ava you can have for somebody, the ava you can have somebody, a Yiddish ava that you have, an ava that's based on a person steiging. You give a bacher a kiss on his head. We don't kiss bacher on the mouth. We a kiss on his head. You give him a kiss with an ava, a pride. That could be a mashpia. And so, this is the idea of neshika that the Sefona learns in a couple of words here from the pasuk by Yaakov Avinu. Let me turn, and a couple of minutes left, mention something about the brachas of the Shvatim. Zvulun l'chayf yamin yishkain. The point of the brachas is that Zvulun has a chelik l'chayf yamin. He has a chelik at the beaches. And many people understand, erroneously so, that Zvulun had a beachfront property. The truth is that Asher had a beachfront property. Asher lined the Mediterranean. There's a pasuk similar to Zvulun l'chayf yamin yishkain. Somebody pointed out to me this week, it says Asher, it doesn't say quite l'chayf yamin yishkain, it says Asher yashav l'chayf yamin. In the Avtar B'Shalach, in the brachas of in the Shiras of Devaira, Asher yashav l'chayf yamin. Asher was the one who really had the chayf hayam. What's the bracha on Zvulun? There obviously was Shvatim who were by the chayf hayam, who had the property at the edge of the Mediterranean. Zvulun had the smallest of all those that had chalokim at the edge of the Mediterranean Sea, Yehuda and Asher. Zvulun is the smallest. What's going on with Zvulun? Chayf yam yishkan, it's a davar pela. As being Rav Sedra, I saw in the Netziv, the bracha is not that he had a beachfront property. V'hu l'chayf aniyos. The bracha was that he went out with Pagamacha, that he went out, he was a businessman, he was a person who did shipping. They weren't fishermen. Fishermen were Asher. The Zvulun were people who traded. They were importers, exporters. There were people who did business with l'chayf yamin. V'yarkosei al Tzidayim. Why does it mention Sidon? Tzidayim? Because Sidon was a very busy commercial city from then till today. Sidon is still on the Mediterranean Sea. And the idea of the Bricha Zvulun is not that he had property by the edge of the water, but that he was a boater and he was a shipper. This fits well with those who understand that the Chalazayim is not a shallow water creature. It's not a weird, it's called shallow water creature. Asher could catch him just like Zvulun could catch him. Fakert, it's a deep water creature. Like the Ranzina held. He held that it's a deep water creature. Why? Because if it's Zvulun that had it, then it means you need boaters. You need people to go out on boats to catch the chalazon. And it's not it doesn't seem to be a snail in the shallow water, which Asher could catch just as good as Zvulun. It seems more something that you need somebody who goes out in boats, a deep water creature. That's what it's mashma from the understanding of this bracha of Zvulun. Be that as it may, these are a couple of thoughts for Shabbos Parshas Vayechi. As you know, tomorrow is Asara B'Tavis, the fast day. Long pshat lecha written about when Asara B'Tavis is chal on Friday. I'll give you the short version. When Asara B'Tavis falls on Friday, two things are different. Number one, you don't say Avinu Malkeinu by Mincha. Number two, you are allowed to take a hot shower. Normally on a fast day, Mishnah Berurah says we don't, Ashkenazim have a meeting not to take hot showers on a fast day. But on Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to. That's it. You don't need to read a five-page piece on Sarah B'Tevah Shachal. Everything else is the same. You break the fast the same time you would otherwise. You daven first, you make kiddush at the zman, whatever zman you normally keep for the end of a Yom HaTinus. And with that, and with the tefillah, Asara B'Tavis should be turned quickly to a Yom Tif again, as it was between the Churban Bayis Rishon and Churban Bayis Sheni. All those times were Yom Tivim, they should turn back to a Yom Tif. Be Karev Mamish, wishing everyone a meaningful fast, a wonderful Shabbos Kodesh, and a Chazak Chazak V'Nis Chazek, cultivate.